Feed on the diet of Sodium. If you are not fed with this diet, you can't rise. God is about to do something with our generation. Men who are sold out to God, men who are on fire, men whose eyes are fire, men whose feet are wind. We are the ones turning water to wine. We are the ones opening bright eyes. We are the ones healing the sick. And God said, I need something done on the earth. But Eliata, and he took him. In you and your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed.
It's Glory Cloud 10th meeting 2018 with Pastor Caris E. Amewills.
I say on Thursday, that was the first day, and I say that again. There's nobody under the sound of my voice who has arrived. Nobody. Amen. I make bold to declare there's nobody here who has arrived. There's still a long journey ahead of you. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you think you've seen things here and there, you've achieved here and there, you are just starting compared to what God has. And this is the implication. The implication is, let your heart be open to hear and to learn. I said these things on Thursday. To hear, to learn, to receive, to add. You know, the most guilty are men of God. Amen. Apologies to all the pastors in the house. You know, when they come for meeting, I just feel, I know God has been using me. I do miracles. I see things. So they are just around to while away time. Don't be like that. Hallelujah. I've learned that even if it's a campus meeting I go for, and there are just 50, 40 people present, I worship God like I'm in the presence of thousands. Number one. Number two, I have either my pad or my Bible, and I write because I expect God to talk to me, irrespective of who is talking. Are you listening to me? And that is very important. And then my expressions in God's presence is as though I came to meet him there. No other person is important. Why? Because every time you are in the congregation of the saints, God is present in a dimension that is different from his presence within your closet. Oh, people hear this morning. Did you hear what I said? Every time you are in the congregation of the saints, God is present in a way that is different from his presence when you are in your room. That openness is very important. That honestly from heart, you say, Lord, you are here, and Lord, you are here, and I'm ready. Lord, you are here, you can touch me. Lord, you are here, and you can do something different. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's very important. Have that disposition. Have that disposition. It's time to pray, pray. Time to worship, worship. Time to hear God to what? Listen to what God has to say. Praise God forevermore. Alright. Let me just talk a little bit about the mindset of saviors. This committing is tagged, saviors arise. Right? Saviors arise. We have said again and again through the camp that the world obviously needs saviors. And when we say that, we mean in every sphere. Political arena, social wars, banking, pulpits. Every sphere, saviors are needed. On the pulpit, in media, wherever God has ordained you to function, or whatever sphere of human influence, human endeavors we have, the seven mountains here, the seven mountains of influence, family, government, finance, sports and entertainment, okay, arts and culture, education, religion, amen, media. In this place, we believe in the multifaceted calling of God. We believe strongly that when we see a person is called, we are not saying he's called to preach to the congregation. In the world, within the walls of the church, we are saying there is a mandate upon the person. there's a commission to act on behalf of the government of heaven, on behalf of Christ. That's what we say. And if everyone has a calling, yesterday we following God's voice for your life, right? If you have a calling, the calling is not to occupy space, neither is it to make ends meet. I hate that word. They say, let's make ends meet. God did not create the ends meet. Let's put body and soul together. It's not the Bible. What I'm saying is not survival. You are not there for survival. And God is not going to place you there for survival. If you are thinking survival, Africa has affected your mind. The environment has impacted your mind. There is no reference in scripture. There is no place in the word of God where we're told to survive till he comes. Rather, the instruction is occupy till I come. Take charge. Do business. Do big things till I come. Make a difference till I come. Be a deliverer till I come. Change your world till I come. Be a savior till I come. That's the instruction. So, there's nothing about occupying space, nothing about preparing to survive. Whether you're on the pulpit or in the marketplace. I noticed something in the city of Jos. Some of you, especially those that pastor, you'd have noticed it. There is a very religious spirit, even among those that are Pentecostal, in quotes. If somebody has 200, 300, 200, 250, 300 members, he has two cars, and he has money to send his students to a good school, he has finished. In this city, I don't know how many of you have noticed that. He has arrived the ministry. He just does some PFN and camp politics, travel abroad, and it feels good. Now, wow. That's survival. That's survival. That's survival. Now, that's for the pulpit. It applies to every other sphere. That is not God's plan. Hallelujah. That's. Alright, so, what are the thinkings? I'll just share a few. What are the mindsets? You are a savior. You want to engage your generation with the power of God. You want to make a difference. How should you think? You are the one God has sent to do the job. Responsibility. You know, there's something about taking responsibility that unlocks a man's potentials. In an amazing way. The moment a person believes that, look, God has commissioned me for this generation, in this sphere, in this space, in this institution, their potentials come under pressure to come out. Suddenly their outlook to life becomes different. Suddenly their response becomes different. Suddenly, what themselves think about become different. Taking responsibility. Nobody else, number one, you take responsibility for your life. That's where it starts. You mentality. You get rid of entitlement mentality. You get rid of somebody is responsible for me. The government is responsible for me. My uncle is responsible for me. My dad is responsible for me. That is an irresponsible thinking. You can never rise thinking that way. Listen, nobody in the world owes you anything. No government in the world owes you anything. Rather, you owe your generation the release of what God has deposited in your spirit. That is responsible thinking. All through scriptures, when God encountered the man, and when God calls a man, he makes him responsible.
He gives them a responsibility for their generation. He gives them a responsibility for their dispensation. He gives them a responsibility for his people. Every time, beginning from Noah, even beginning from Adam, he gave him the responsibility for the world. He says, have dominion. So God doesn't encounter a person. God doesn't call a person without making you responsible, first for yourself and then for your generation. He told Adam, he gave Adam the command to be his vice regent on the earth. And that singular instruction made him responsible for the whole world. You know what happened? When he fell, the whole world fell. Hope you know it wasn't just Adam that fell. Creation fell. Creation fell. The animals fell. The mountains fell. The earth fell. You think God created the world, I mean the earth, so we can be having earthquakes? Talk to me, somebody. He was responsible for the earth. He says, have dominion. Subdue it. Be the Lord over all the works of my hands. When he met Noah, the same thing. To imbue an act that will save the whole world. You see, God, no man encounters God and doesn't hear in the instruction that you have to be responsible for this generation, for these people, for this institution. No man. All the scriptures, we can go from Genesis to Revelation. He told Noah, build an ark that will save the whole world. And for years he was doing it. Build something so large, you're responsible for the animals, for the humans. And just a few humans got in. Many people did not. They were busy dancing and marrying and giving away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then, let me, a little digression. That will bless you. you know, ministry is by the Spirit. I know there's a place of, a lot of people are doing business, are using business skill and business methods to do ministry. It doesn't always work. Because that's not God's pattern. It's purely by the Spirit. They say, do a survey. How do they prepare messages? I hear there are churches now. You want to prepare a message, you do a survey about what do the people need. What are the people saying? What's happening? You use it to the message. Imagine if you're a pastor in the days of Noah and you are doing a survey to know what the people needed to preach about what the people needed. You probably have marriage seminars because the people were marrying and giving themselves to marriage. Is marriage seminar how to run your home, 7 steps to a successful home? That's what you run. If you do a survey, but if you're a man of the Spirit, you tell them, go and join Noah to build that ark and enter inside. Oh, am I talking? So all those, they say, survey what the people want, and then you tailor your message to what the people want. You get into the flesh. Go and read it. They were marrying and giving themselves to marriage. So if you have to survey what's the need right now, people need good homes, people need sound relationship. There's an explosion of marriage and families. A lot of families are starting. So we start marriage seminar. You will miss God. What's the use of the seminar when the next day they will be drowned with a good home inside the flood, plus the 7 steps for the good home inside the flood? Everything gone. Are you seeing the emptiness of doing issue by the flesh? Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Well, we get to, did you like the digression? In the days of Abraham, it was the same thing. God met him and said, come, I'll make your name great. And through you shall all the nations of the earth. Responsibility. Responsibility. There's a way a savior should think. I'm responsible for my life. I'm responsible for this generation. I take responsibility for this environment. I take responsibility for this city. I take responsibility for this region, for this territory, for this institution, for this family. You don't say, no, I'm not firstborn. I'm not. You know the Spirit of God is moving you. Fast and pray. Take out time to settle the issues of the family. I say, no, I'm not the firstborn. Take responsibility. Those who engage your word, listen, in every sphere, there's a way to think. There's a way to think. On a global scale, in the business world, it's the same thing. There's a way of thinking. This is what will deliver places into your hands. This is what will deliver institutions into your hands. This is what will deliver a generation into your hands. Whatever your calling is. You remember what Mark Gembeck said? They asked him when he came to Nigeria in 2016. They said, Mark, what do you do to position Facebook for the future? And things, as you know, we live in a dynamic world. What do you do to position Facebook for the future? I looked at him and said, no. I create the future. Others position themselves. That's a secular person who understands this thing talking. Can you imagine? He says, that's Mark Zuckerberg. He said, I create a future. Others position themselves. So he didn't think twice before he said, he came out of him. That was what impressed me. He just said, position myself for the future. I create a future. Others position themselves. Hallelujah. Take responsibility. Take responsibility. For the most part, the church is always playing catch up. Always playing catch up. Education, technology, social work. But that is not what was handed to us. Do you know what we have? Our education today came from the church. Do you know the entire insurance company came from a Sunday service? Somebody sat in a service. As his pastor was teaching, he said, God gave him an idea about insurance. And that floated. The first insurance company ever started after a Sunday service. And somebody said he just had this idea while his pastor was preaching. And that has become a multi-billion dollar organization today. Taking responsibility. That's if it's in trillions. It's in trillions. Insurance company. Take responsibility. Whether you're a doctor, instead of complaining, our health sector, our fathers in medicine, you take responsibility. You said, what can I do? What is the anointing upon your life for? What is the blessing of Abraham upon you for? What is the Holy Ghost in you for? The moment you take responsibility, potentials are powered to fulfillment. You begin to wonder, so I can do this, I can think like this, vision this, ingenuity, I mean, this is all in me. Take responsibility. Don't complain, be a part of the solution. That's where it starts. All of the resources of heaven will begin to flow in your direction in an amazing way the moment you take responsibility, the moment you switch from survival to making a difference. Don't say, somebody will do it, or I cannot do it. You can take responsibility. I'm responsible for my life and I'm responsible for this generation. You tell yourself that and go to action. For some of you, to solve your laziness problem, solve your oversleeping problem, say, I just oversleep. You have not taken responsibility. Oh, when you take responsibility, you will stay awake. You will stay awake. You will step out in faith. You will take action. You notice suddenly that 24 hours is not enough in a day for you. You look for how to multiply your 24 hours. Hallelujah. Take responsibility. That is how saviors think. Listen, Africa has a delayed sense of youthfulness. I've always said it. Delayed sense of youthfulness. And it's cultural. They call a 22-year-old man boy. Say, oh, that's my boy. He just finished school. Your boy? He's 22. He cannot be a boy. Is a man. Countries that are productive at 18, in fact, sometimes at 17, they call you a 70-year-old man. That's formally now. Formally. You know, there are people here that still allow that culture go into their work. I'm talking about journalists. They say, Rabbi, a 20-year-old boy was found. You'd be shocked. Why is the cultural thing? Don't let it affect you. And you see, it's a symptom of that irresponsibility. So someone is 25, he feels very young. He's 30, he feels young. By feeling young, I'm not saying in the positive now. He feels there's time. There's time. He's not under pressure. He wakes up at home, he eats free food. And he's asking for money and he's angry that money was not given to him. He's angry that money... That is irresponsible. I've told you, you cross 30, you are living with someone, stop eating food. Stop eating the person's food. Stop eating food. When you are hungry, you will put your brain to work. You will go out. Hallelujah. Take responsibility. Don't give excuses. That's number one. Number two, mindset of saviors. Believe that the gospel is the answer to all of man's problems. Write it down. Believe that the gospel is the answer. This is important. Don't say, I believe now. That's not what I'm talking about. Too. Listen, you don't believe a thing yet until it affects your actions. You don't believe a thing yet until it controls your thinking and your behavior. You know, the way many Christians live, they really don't believe that the gospel is the answer. They think there's another solution somewhere. They think unconsciously, they are thinking that the government should bring answers. The government should bring solutions. You see Christians believing in poverty alleviation programs. I told you they don't work. I told you since. For those that have been with me from school, which poverty alleviation program? Has it worked? It will never work. Because the answer to poverty is not money. The answer to poverty is not poverty alleviation programs. The Bible says to the poor, the gospel is being preached. You know, I got a hold of a statistics last year. I can't remember them specifically, but it will amaze you. When I heard the amount of money that has come to Africa as foreign aid from 1984, so either 1984 or 1985, till now, you will shout. Maybe I'll check the details and tell you later. Monies that have come to Africa as foreign aid is way more than the GDP of Africa. Is that not madness? So what has been happening? They've not been aided. Because the answer is not dollars and pounds and euros from Swiss bank. It's this gospel. You are passionate about helping Africa. It's this gospel. It will amaze you more than... the last time I checked, GDP of Africa was like maybe $1.4 trillion. Foreign aid that has come over a short about 20 years span or 25 years span. It's crazy. The gospel is the answer. Be convinced. Listen, it will affect how you give expression in your sphere. Are you going to just be doing social work, or you know that what I'm doing is to give advantage to the kingdom of God? If you believe that the gospel is the answer, you will sponsor it. Oh, come on now. If you believe that the gospel is the answer, you will go on your knees and pray for its spread. If you know you believe that the gospel is the answer, you will spread it. You will take it out. You'll take it out. You won't be a politician in office and think, oh, the church people have come again. Oh, church, I need to be in my church. You now begin to see church as another populist to use to win an election, because you are not a Christian in the first place. Let me not even go into that. In your heart, be convinced that the gospel is the answer. And let everything about you, your mind, your life, be a hope for the spread of the gospel. Did you hear what I say? A hope. Irrespective of your sphere. You may be called to be a lecturer in the university, but gospel first. You may be called to be a business person, gospel first. A politician, gospel first. Sports and entertainment person, gospel first. Because you know that this is the answer to man's problem. You cannot really save men until you give them the gospel. You cannot really make a difference. You'd have just helped their bodies and give them temporary relief. That's just palliative. Simply palliative. To do something more, you must introduce the gospel. Either directly or indirectly. Hallelujah. Oh, Psalm 68. It says the Lord gave a word. Great was the company of those that published it. 68, is it verse 8 now? The Lord gave a word, verse 12, I believe. The Lord gave a word. Great was the company of those that published it. Are you a publisher of the word? Are you a publisher of the word? That's the second mindset. You're a savior, a deliverer in this generation, whatever sphere, you must know. You must think and be convinced that the gospel is the answer. The Lord, verse 11, sorry. The Lord gave a word. Great was a company of those that were publishers of the word. He just showed us how to be great. You are looking for keys to greatness. It's already here. You don't need to go and look 7 keys to greatness. He has given you the key. You are seeing it. Publish the word. Publish the gospel. Publish it on your knees. Publish it with your money. Publish it with your mouth. Are you listening to me? Publish it with your natural advantages. Publish it with your office. Publish it with the things the Lord has blessed you with. That's the key to greatness. He just said it. The Lord gave a word. Great was the company of those that published it. That's the way you must think. That's the way you must think. What can I do to give the gospel the advantage? What can I do now on a daily basis? What can I do in my local church to give the gospel the advantage? What can I do as a Christian in my office to give the gospel the advantage? What can I do in my city to give the gospel the advantage? This must be your fault. You'll be functional. Listen, the reason we have so many Christians who are not serving. Do you know the percentage of Christians who don't serve? That don't serve in their churches, don't serve in any fellowship, is large. Very large. And guess what? They are not serving in the marketplace where they are. They are not serving the gospel. They are just making money there. They are just making money there. Listen, don't just directly translate, okay, as I'm a banker, as I help people in the bank, I'm serving people and I'm serving the Lord. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. They pay you at the end of the month now, don't they? Not necessarily. If it's not intentional and measurable, you are not serving God there. Yes, I believe there's a place of serving God at your workplace, at your business place, but it has to be measurable, it has to be intentional. If it's not, you are not. You are just getting your money. And not a large percentage of Christians that don't serve in union, they don't serve in small groups, they don't serve in church. Some don't even serve with their money to make it worse. They say, I give offering on Sunday now. It's offering for preaching the gospel. I've told you, in the Old Testament, they had offerings and tithes. In the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, all they had was the temple to maintain. They did not have the commission to take the gospel to the nations. That means offering that tithe was to maintain the temple. But in the New Testament, what we do is beyond maintaining the temple. We are commissioned to take the gospel to the nations. That means there has to be another financial system. Beyond your Sunday offerings. They had offerings and tithes in the Old Testament. But they didn't have a commissioning to take the gospel out. We have a commission to take the gospel out, and we also have the temple to maintain. Am I talking? Yes, give the gospel the advantage. Give the gospel. Listen, there's an empowerment a believer will receive, irrespective of where you function. There's an empowerment from God you will receive when you put the gospel first. The Lord gave a word. Great was the company of those who published it. I'm a publisher of the word. The gospel is the answer. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Of this gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. The power of God. The gospel doesn't contain the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. And there's something about the gospel. It's like a lion unleashed. You don't kill the prey for the lion. You let it do his work. So every time the gospel is unleashed, truth is, true preachings, on radio, in print, on TV, on the internet. It goes and does its work. It goes and does its work. Changing hearts, changing lives. A young man I met in Abuja a week plus or two weeks ago. He said, "Sir, I live in Mangu." He was the one who came to me. He saw me and came. He said, "I live in Mangu. Every Saturday, I call people. We gather around TV to watch you. Every Saturday." I was touched. I was touched. Publishing the gospel. You don't know how much of a difference that is making. Now, these are the ones we hear. And when I say young man is in his 30s, I knew him from school, 100 level, in the same 100 level where he was in another department. And I've not seen him for a while. He finished university 10 years ago, the person I'm talking about. Glory to God. Publish the gospel. It is the answer. The answer. Never let intellectuals convince you that there's something extra apart from the gospel that's going to help the people of the world. No. We can do things socially, palliatively, but it's to prepare the way for the gospel. That's what I mean. You can go have free medical treatment, spend millions of naira, treat people and all that, but behind you, know that this woman must hear the gospel as I'm doing this thing. Do you understand? Know at the back of your mind that, look, the real power to transform these lives is in the gospel. And this is just to open their hearts to hear the main thing. Do you understand? So they know what you represent. They know who you speak for. I know who you speak for. Glory to God. Number three. I said number one, take responsibility. Number two, know that the gospel is the answer. The gospel is the answer. Let it get into your bones. Let it get into your blood. Let it get into your... The gospel is the answer. Let it get into your marrow. The gospel is the answer. The Bible says there is no name given among men whereby we must be saved. No name. No name. No name. Those your neighbors, if they are not saved, they are going to hell. That your uncle, if he's not saved, is going to hell. That's your bro. If it's not saved, it's going to hell. No name. Hallelujah. There's a way of thinking. Number three, God is my source and nothing is impossible. God is my source and nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. Look up at me, everyone. You know, this third point is very, 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 very important. How? You see, where your eyes are very important. No matter what you do, you're a preacher, you're a marketplace person. Where your eyes are very important. I remember the illustration the man of God gave many years ago that God told him when he called him into ministry. He said, look up with one eye and look down with the other eye and see what happens. He said, if you are able to do that, you know that you can be looking up to me and looking up to men at the same time. But he couldn't. And God told him, he says, every time you are looking to man, don't claim that you are looking up to me. Why? It's impossible to look down with one eye and look up with... Have you tried it? I'm sure as I was saying, you were trying to. Did it work? It can't work. It can't work. You need laying up of hands if it happens. You can't. No man is your source. Be convinced. This great destiny for you to fulfill it, no man is your source. And listen, the moment that becomes your mindset, you are off offense, jealousy, bitterness, and all of that. You are very good. Do you understand? Now, let me tell you something. The primary reason for offense is unmet expectations. You get offended at people because you have expectations that they meet. Most times the reason for offense, bitterness against people, is unmet expectations. But when you know that God is a judge and is your source, you have solved the problem of ever getting offended, ever getting bitter against anyone, ever getting disappointed, that will lead to offense. And listen, offense is the perfect law of bondage. The moment you get into offense, everything shuts down. Everything shuts down. It will all just be out of motions. In no time, you are coming like this. Never let offense into your heart. And see, it's not automatic. Your spirit has to be trained for it. Look at what Paul says. He says, in this do I exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense toward man and toward God. Wow. So you can also get offended at God. There are many Christians who are serving but are offended at God. Alright, the moment you see God as your source, everything you ever need in life at every stage is going to come from God. God will use men, yes, I understand. But none of those men are your source. You can never consider them as a source. If you see a man as your source, you are not looking to God. Only see men as channels. Yes, they can come. They can go. If they leave, nothing happens. Your source is still intact. And the math is very simple. 7 billion minus 1. How many people are there on earth? So that one man left, you are now disoriented. 7 billion minus 1. What's the answer? 7 billion. Insignificant. It's not significant. Do you understand? Love men, honor men, celebrate men, but know that God is your source. It will help you not get offended, not walk in fear, not walk in bitterness. God is your source. God is your promoter. God is the lifter of your head. God is your anointer. Are you listening to me? He has a million and one ways of getting that thing across to you. He has a million and one ways of raising you up. Listen, when you think like this, you are off the hook of jealousy and envy. Let me tell you something. Envy is a spirit. Envy is a spirit. Listen, you can have more results than another person and still envy the person. Do you know? Because it's a spirit that you must decisively deal with. It's a spirit. Someone obviously has more results, more opportunities, more money, more followership. He's still envying someone that has less. Why envy is a spirit? It's not all the time it has to do with something outside. Listen, but when your focus is on the King, Jehovah is my source, I'm buoyant and complete in Him, perfect in Him. You don't have time for this. You will always be genuinely happy for people. Genuinely happy for people. And not feel bad because they didn't do something for you or something. God is your source. Can I get an amen? He's your source. Not too much expectations for people. Habba now. Habba, habba, habba. We're roommate too. I fed him for 3 sessions. Now he's a millionaire. Ordinary 100,000 he has not given me. Bros, you have entitlement mentality. Deal with it. Entitlement. That's entitlement mentality. Don't giraffe into any man's resources. Don't. Just face your front. No, you don't giraffe. A lot of people, no offense. So that 1 year has passed, he has no shaking body. 2 years, and then you no longer call him, you don't pick his call, or you just, in your heart, you may not even change your disposition outwardly, but in your heart, you know you are despising this person, you are angry, there's resentment. Know that God is your source. Listen, you want to make impact, you don't have time for those things. I'm telling you, you don't have time for those things. Impact. Generational impact, delivering your word, is going to take a lot of focus. Focus. So you have to deal with distractions. Deal with things that will distract you. And this mindset will help you out of distraction. A lot of focus. Laser beam focus. Concentrated focus. I'm telling you, concentrated focus. And even as you rise, listen, you must maintain that my God is your source. No man is your source. God is a judge. So even when people, you know what that means? Even when people genuinely offend you, God is a judge. You are not the judge. Are you following me? Because if you ever get distracted and get into those things that deal with the heart. You know, I tell a friend of mine something. I said, listen, the things that make for longevity in ministry and sustainable impact in ministry are invisible. They are very invisible. They are here. They are very invisible. If you don't arrange those coordinates on the inside, suddenly you see things depreciating. Let me tell you something. No organization dies from murder. Suicide. Kai, you guys did not hear me. No organization in the world. Nothing that any man builds dies from murder. They will always die from suicide. Meaning it has to be something within that will kill it, that will destroy it, not something without. Churches, great ministries don't die from murder. Murder is somebody from outside. They die from suicide. When you go in the way of Cain, in the era of Balaam, in the gainsayings of Korah, you remember Jude 11? I showed you yesterday how to note error and how to guard your heart. In the way of Cain, the era of Balaam, the gainsayings of Korah. Am I talking this morning?
Yes,
I'm sharing deep things though. I'm sharing deep things. God is my source and nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. If God is your source, nothing is impossible. You know that there's nothing that cannot be accomplished. Absolutely nothing. Why? Where you are drawing from, they don't live on budgets. God doesn't live on budgets. He doesn't. Abundance. Overflow. So that your small budget, that small need, that thing you want to do is very small. It took God just 5 days, 6 days to create the whole world. You're asking for 2 months, it's already big. And what you are looking for is not even the whole world. Are you asking for a planet to be recreated for you? Even if it's that, it's just 6 days. Glory to God. What am I saying? God is big. Always measure your needs, your wants, your challenges with the ability of God. Put them side by side with who God is and with what He can do. Always. And suddenly it will look small. This is how to do things in millions without money in your pockets. Because you live according to God's pockets. Hallelujah. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. So you know there's nothing that cannot be accomplished. No dream to be that cannot be done. And what is the pathway? How do we break that down? Faith. 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 For faith is the key to the exploit. It will begin with the seed of God's word. This is how you should think as a savior. The seed. You know that this thing is so big. What I want to get done is so big. But it starts with the seed. And the seed is the word of God. Do you understand? The seed. So how big is the vision? How big is the dream? How big is the current thing to be accomplished? There's a seed for it. And that seed is found in God's word. The moment you get the seed, you plant it. You water it. It's going to grow. This is how the kingdom of God operates. When you study Mark chapter 4, you see that. It says, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It's like unto a man who cast seed into the ground. Who went and slept, waking up night and day, the seed grows and knoweth not how. He said, for the seed of the ground of itself brings forth. First, the corn, the ear. So the blade, the ear, and the full corn. Can you see? You put it in the sickle. That's how it works. Get this. Listen. Get this from this morning. No matter how big anything is you want to do, there is the seed form. Get the seed. And the seed is the word of God. Get the seed of God's word for it. When you begin to speak it, it's entering your heart. That's planting. as you speak in tongues and declare it again, that's watering. He says the ground, meaning your heart, has been programmed to produce for you. As a student, you want in first class, it's the same thing. The ground has been programmed to bring for you of itself. Hallelujah. You can say there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. Plant the seed. Plant the seed. A lot of people are crying. Oh Lord. There's no seed in the soil of the heart. Get the seed and plant it. It will grow. It will become a mighty shrub that the birds of the field will come to make their nest on it. Hallelujah. God is my source, and nothing is impossible. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can get accomplished. I take the seed, I plant it. It grows and gives me my desired results. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. See, that possibility is also tied to your mouth. Prophetic utterance is tied to your mouth. Your speakings is tied to your mouth. It's tied to your mouth. You tell yourself, there's no bill this mouth cannot pay. There's nothing this mouth cannot speak into me. Listen, God gave us this mouth to create and recreate our circumstances. That's how things. A savior must be a talker. A talker. Not just talking empty talks. Talks. Words that are wrapped into omnipotence. Word coming out of heaven. Words of power. Words of glory. Because you shall have what you say. You shall have what you say. You speak and you see it. First level, put a guard on your mouth. Second level, deliberately speak forth God's power. All through this morning on Sundays, for those that are here, we are taking a series on prophetic utterance. Prophetic utterance. This is how it works. You will talk and talk and talk. There will be many things to discourage you. But you use your mouth to pull down the mountains. Let your mountains hear you talk. Don't just think about the mountain. Talk to the mountain. Talk to the mountain. Speak to it. Speak to it. All things are possible. All things are possible. Engage the force of prophetic utterance. All things are possible. Engage the force of praying. Praying in the Holy Ghost. You pray and pray until you pull certain things, customize things out, and then pim, hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Is somebody here? Are you getting blessed? Say, God is my source, and nothing is impossible for me. Absolutely nothing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Speak in other tongues. Maleko Zushta, right where you are seated, just speak in other tongues. Suvali Mante Sushtu Brekto Skelebun. Speak in other tongues. Thank you, Lord. Rebo Sushta Paranega. Lizonda Sushta Pronda Kizushta Poradele de Bondas. Zeliando so stepura badele de bosa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Maso shepoteli caprunda so stepa. Zila gombredo so stepreton de liga so steparanega. Zeliando sasha, pura dize stepa. Lika prunda soste prunda kira soste paradile dosa. Lisa mande soste pa tesila nosa. Tesila nungra soste pa. Man pose ste pa. Mande pura bante rebosa. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Paradon zeste pa. Hallelujah. You know, I told you we're going to pray this morning. I tried to teach. I'm sure I did well. Amen. I was not in the mood to teach when I came here. Hallelujah. But I think I tried. What do you think? Hallelujah. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. I told you yesterday that in prayer, you generate spiritual infrastructures for progress. That's very important. You see, why is it that sometimes people live as though there is no help, as though it's difficult to make progress? There are no infrastructures. No infrastructures. No infrastructures. Infrastructures attract investors. Oh, infrastructures attract people. Listen, infrastructures make things easy. When you think about infrastructures, what do you think? Things that make things easy. Enabling environment. Thank you. Perfect word. Enabling environment. Why somebody wants to go into the technology industry? They say, I'll go to UK, I'll go to Canada, I'll go to Silicon Valley. Infrastructures. Enabling environment. Prayer creates enabling environment for progress. You can sit if you want, you can stand. But I'm going to spend time praying the Holy Ghost. The next 5 minutes, praying the Holy Ghost. You will pray and consciously knowing that, look. What I'm doing right now. Are you guys here? Talk to me now. Are you guys here? You know that what I'm doing right now is creating infrastructures for that next level in my heart. Creating infrastructures. Some of you for the next 5 years, 10 years. Creating infrastructure, generating prophetic pathways, prophetic highways. Open your mouth and pray in tongues. Salabrum de kepos.
Seliando sestepa, lika pronda kapon sestepa, sila kapronda kaposa.
For everybody outside,
jela kapronda kaposa, lika pronda sosta praktila konzapa. Yala la 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 bosa. Seliale bagabane ne 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 bo sosta praktalia ne 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 bo. Suravante pon zestepa, liro zostepa, liro zostepa, mante pronda susta, lika pronda sustepa, zoriante posa, zoriante posa, zoriatila, zoriatila, masse poras, masse prondas, sheliga pondas, la caponza. Shaka pong, yala la 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 na 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 boss. Hey, paya te balia te pa na 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 boss. Shapa silate, lika pong sepati, lirosi patele liata. Malaka from the sushta. Jelaka pronda susta, jelia tobasa, molaka pronda susta, surabandele de bosa, yele de de bos, jelaka prenda le de bos, shatalaviale, delialo gusa shasananana, roca posso shotokapa, lika pronda susta, jaka prokta kaposa, lika pronda kaposa. Liga prada da 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 boss. Maliale ke bana na 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 boss. Sola pronda sosta praktila.
Hallelujah. Put Isaiah 60 verse 1 up for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. No. You should have message translation. All right. Ephesians first. That popular scripture. I'm sure you projected it yesterday. Ephesians 6. Verse 18. As Ephesians 6 verse 18, I believe, when it says prayer is important in this ongoing warfare. Alright, that's it there. Amen. I want you to look at that, everybody. If you don't have amplified, I mean, message translation on your hand, just look up. Look at this. It says, in the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Now, I don't want you to get distracted when he talks about warfare. You know, sometimes when we mention warfare, for those that understand small new creations realities, something small, that's why I say small, some things just ring in their head. It's okay. I thought Jesus has obtained the victory for us. Yes, he has. Listen, you live in time. I preach messages and I go and look for the material. But important thing is there is still warfare now on the earth. Do you understand? Do you understand? There's warfare. Fulfilling your destiny, doing what God has called you to do is a warfare. Is a warfare. You will collide with forces. Forces that will attempt to discourage you. Forces moving men against you. A lot of things are going to happen. That is the simple truth. Do you understand? That's the truth. On earth, things doesn't just go the way you want. You think they should go. You insist that go the way you want them to go. Is somebody following me? So, bottom line is, there's warfare. There's warfare. But look at what it says. Prayer is just... But do I need to even explain? Or this is in the New Testament. This is Ephesians. And the apostle of in New Testament is saying this. Amen. It says, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Read the next thing for me. Pray hard and long. No, just like your mom advises you, work hard. Paul is advising you, pray hard. Pray hard and long. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirit up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Okay? Amazing portion of scripture. Is it prayer is essential? Two things I want to bring out there. Prayer is essential for the fulfillment of your destiny. Simple. Pray hard and long. Hallelujah. Pray hard and long. Meaning, put your focus on the praying. Even when your body is tired, you pray hard and long. Now, if I ask you a very simple question. So, if you have to interpret this scripture, how do you pray hard? That jollof rice, Kai, was it really sweet? Was it really sweet? My clothes with the tailors, Kai. I really wanted to wear that gown tomorrow. That's your mind talking. This light is very fine. There's another one I saw online. Maybe I'll tell pastor to change the light. Does that show pray hard? Concentration. Let me tell you, every opportunity you have to pray in a corporate meeting like this, do with your heart. Is that okay? Like I said, you may be sitting, you may be standing, you may be walking around. Just ensure you are praying. We have 5 more minutes. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. I'm very calm this morning, but I want you to take it seriously. We're going to pray. And pray passionately. And generate those infrastructures. Let me tell you. Is there anybody here who does not have an expectation? There's something you want to see. There's something you want to touch. There's a level you want to enter into. Finances, ministry, career, academics. There's nobody who doesn't have such a thing. Do you understand? This is your opportunity to create infrastructures. Infrastructures. For those heart desires. Is that okay?
Yes,
is that okay?
Yes,
open your mouth and pray in tongues. Celebrum de cosa. Celiato suste prote ki pro suste pa. Lebrum de suste pro. Liga brum de suste prote liga. Celebrum de kepo suste prote kepos. Celebrum de suste prote liga suste prote kepo. Jacapo to copracapo social to copracapo. Lica precapo social to copracapos. Lica precapo social to copracapos. Zella capracapo social to copracapo.
Sakama laga baba de gebos lifoko poto preki pasaka braka patabaya lafika patina mahas lifo peti laga baba de gebos saka laga baba de bayas lifi preki pato sabra la broko posaga liga bos menti poko posa lifra ke pato sabri ke palaga baba de bas liga baba de gebos saka laga baba de gebos lifa pate koproko posa Ligo frike patika bahata Zaka palaga baba de gebus Manta kabra kapatosa Malaga baba de gebus Ligo freko posa gabra kapata Prayer is essential La fracapata que poco posa, la placa poco poco posa, in this ongoing warfare, la gebababababababababas, la gebababababababababas, liga placa posa que poco poto, la placa poniga posa, la badegabati, sili, sili, bil, libidigibis, la gebababababababas, li fopa pido posopa, la babababababababas. La propatina masse, ya baba madaga masse, la gadaga masse, la gadaga masse, kapotoka prataba, la masse, kapotoka maya, build infrastructure, la gadaga masse, create the enabling environment, la providence, la
Expectation of creation awaits
the manifestation of saviors. We are followed by the devils. 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 When I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth like a broken patamaya. Pray the Holy Ghost in the holy convocation. Man, take a there will come a certain day. Make power available today. Elias was a man of like person. And he prayed earnestly that he should rain not. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave up rain. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Upon this mountain there shall be deliverance. Upon this mountain, there shall be anointings. Upon this mountain, there is strength. Pray the Holy Ghost. If you fail in the day of adversity, your strength is small. But this is an opportunity to increase your stamina in the spirit. Pray the Holy Ghost all over this place.
Lepe, 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 And he came to pass that while they prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. And they appeared, Moses and Elijah, speaking there with Jesus, concerning his destiny. Pray.
Arise, eat, for the journey is far. Arise, eat. Before we arise, Yes.
It's a holy convocation.
Yes. For it is sweet and the honey comes. For it is sweet to thy taste and where you have found it.
Hallelujah. There's such a fire here already, amen. The presence of God is here. And listen, things are happening. Conception is happening. Yeah, things are happening on our inside. What a great honor. What a great honor to be in such glorious, awesome presence of the Most High God. Don't bother about who is living right now. The days will show. The days will show. It will be obvious that you were somewhere. It will be obvious that you were with Jesus. It will be obvious that you left your heart open for his seeds to fertilize. It will be obvious that you prayed, that you drank, that you soaked. Lego pratica soste praton de sita. There's such a fire here. If you don't get to rest before the evening session, no problem. The Bible says, "He that raised up the dead body of Jesus dwells in you." If you raise the dead body of Jesus, at best you are tired. It can quicken your tired body. But I want you to stay. and just drink and drink. Even after we have closed, let your focus be on Jesus. Let your attention be on the Master. Let it be on the Master. Zakapata kapaya. Some of you, 10 years from now, you'll remember today. It will be a reference point. This camp meeting, reference point. For your eyes are open to see. Your ears are open to hear. For the Lord is Ayo. Come. Come. For the Lord is causing His light to shine on you. And causing His light to shine through you. He's causing His fire to burn. Yes. For the nations to come watch. For you will burn. And your burning is their light. See the Spirit of God. As you burn, they will receive light. No, you can stand. Marabososhoto. Zaliendo kopososhoto. Just shoot a little. A voice that must be heard. Voice to the nations. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We'll give you praise and we'll give you glory. Thank you, Jesus. That I have on the keyboard, just we can pause that just on the keyboard. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the glory of your presence. Thank you for the beauty of your face. We are yours and yours alone. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can you just lift your hands and thank him? We're closing this episode. For you alone,
You are Lord, forever Lord. You are my King, Lord of everything, forever Lord. You are Lord, you are Lord, forever Lord. You are my King, Lord of everything, forever Lord. You are Lord, you are Lord. Forever Lord. You are my King, you are my King, Lord of everything. Forever Lord.
Father, we thank you. Hallelujah.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.